ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Hello, welcome to Beautiful Exchange Service. It's a wonderful Wednesday evening from the city of Lagos, Nigeria. And we'd like to just welcome you after another work day into our service today. Thank you for having us in your home. We believe, for those who went to work, we believe you've had an exciting day. And even if you worked remotely, we believe that this time you will be blessed by being part of our service. In 3 John 2, God's will is stated thus. He said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. God wants us to well. God wants us emotionally whole. And tonight we'll be talking about a very important topic. Even at this time of the pandemic, COVID-2019, it's been a time of lockdown in many places. I have been to, in the little time I've gone out, I've seen a whole lot of emotional outbursts, maybe from people who are trying to buy something with the shop owners. So it's a mixture of emotion at this time. But hey, tonight we will look at the fact that God wants us whole. God wants us emotionally well. That's why the subject of emotional intelligence is right there in the market space today. What are the triggers when people are emotionally unwell? What are those triggers? And what is the provision for our emotional wellness? And then the fact that we come to you today to say you can enjoy the blessing of peace. Tonight, I have two important personalities with me in the studio here. I say studio, but it's also studio. We're trying to make this, it's a live program, so it's a studio. Tonight, I welcome right here with me, Mr. Demola Aderibigbe. We call him Coach Lala. He's a wellness consultant. Thank you for being part of this service tonight. And to my right is Mrs. Jumoke Biodun-Kuti. There's also, you're a family counselor, you are a human resource consultant, but it's just nice to have you on this program tonight. Thank you for being part of this service.
Thank you, Pastor.
I don't know who wants to start. The subject of emotional wellness has become something to be considered today, in families and the workspace. So what do you have? What do you have to say to us? Let's just understand the whole concept of emotional wellness. Mr. Lala.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. So we've been told that since the pandemic broke out that we should keep physical hygiene, you know, wash your hands regularly, use hand sanitizers, practice social distancing, and all of that because the COVID virus is very contagious. But unknown to many people, the despair, the anxiety, the fear of COVID-19 is much more contagious. Because I dare say that COVID-19 has affected more people than it has infected people. It has affected more people than it has infected. And the people that it has affected them much more in their emotions than in their physical health. So how do I mean? Somebody has not been infected by COVID-19, but for one reason or the other, his economic well-being is at stake. So Abby has lost his job. That's nasty. He's losing his job. That means he has lost his finance, his source of income. That's another nasty emotion. Not knowing how long this will last, another problem. The fear of not even being infected is another problem, you know? So, you see, all of that put together bets something deep within us. And basically, our emotions are feelings. Are feelings that that rises most of the time spontaneously rather than through conscious effort. And what happens is that these feelings begin to alter our mental state, our psychological state, and our physiological state, meaning that they affect our head, they affect our heart, and therefore affect our hands. So when the Bible says that, guide your heart, the Bible was talking about guiding your feelings and your emotions, because out of your feelings and emotions, out of your thoughts rather, and feelings, because like I said, emotions are feelings, all the issues of your life flow from there.
So at this crucial time, what you're saying to us, that God is interested in the things that comes out of our heart. And our heart is like the seat of where emotions, whether positive or negative, emanates from. Mrs. Kuti, can you just give us like an overview of this emotional well-being? I mean, for us to enjoy what I consider as unusual peace, even in a time as this.
Okay, I think, Pastor, you started with something, 1 John 3:2. That is to say that the scripture.
Yes, I wish above 3 John 2.
3 John,
wish,
sorry.
Yeah, I wish, John, above all things,
I wish above all things.
Yeah, that's God's desire for you. For all,
yes,
yeah.
And that should be our basis.
That we prosper.
Yes, and
be in health.
Even as our souls prosper. So yeah. The first step is to understand that God wants us whole. Which is what you started with, that God desires that we are whole. So if that is out of the way, that anything that will shake us, that will disturb our emotional well-being, God does not want it for us. Once you realize that, I think you have a good springboard to move from. So if your soul is okay, the Bible seems to tell us that every other thing will be okay. Lalat mentioned about how it's from that seat, that base, that every other thing flows from. So your goal is to ensure that that part of you is at peace. The Bible also says that you will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind, we might as well say, whose heart, whose soul is stayed on you. These are perilous times, no doubt. I mean, these usually, I mean, something happens, you can easily lay claim to, oh, I know who this has happened to before. But I doubt that many of us will be able to say, I know who has been in this COVID-19 situation before. So we are faced with such new things that we have to draw from. I don't know, we're having to draw knowledge from somewhere we never even thought knowledge was. We're having to come up with new things, new ways of coping. Even in war, there are templates. Some templates, you understand? People can tell us in the First World War, this is how they did it. We bettered it in the Second World War. When we went to fight Vietnam, it was like... But with this, it's so...
People ask that, how do we wash the hands of our emotions? They taught us how to wash our hands.
The physical hands.
Sanitizers. But how do you wash the hands of your emotions?
You understand? How do you clean that part of you? You know? So, in answer, my ready answer to that is a young David saying to in the Psalms that, how does a man keep his way? How does a young man keep his way? You sit at the feet of God. That is, he's the only one who has seen COVID-19 before. I don't know if any other person can lay claim to having been in this situation. Yes, we had that Spanish influenza season. I don't know if anybody is really alive who was alive then. So we really have nothing to draw experience from. Except what has been stored on the inside of you before now. You know, if you fail in the day of adversity, there was nothing to you in the first place.
Yeah.
So, fine. Let's even assume you didn't store anything before now. Mm. It's a good time to begin to store. Mm. It's a good time to begin to look outside and inside of yourself. Mm. Outside being maybe the word of God, but inside being what you have on the inside, or what you are taking in now. Mm. Suffice to say, I stand to be corrected. Suffice to say, there will be for me the solutions that exist on the outside right now. Mm. The books we thought we knew, the psychology, whatever we thought, they probably will fail us right now because I don't think they were written for these times. Mm. You understand? So
I beg to differ a bit. You know why?
Okay.
Because cognitive behavioral therapy, positive psychology, mm-hmm. has always made mention that every thought starts from an event.
Okay.
So an event is that an information that you hear, a situation you are in, or some things. Every event sows a thought into mm-hmm, you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that thought goes ahead after a while to become a feeling.
Okay.
You know, then that feeling shapes your frame of mind, and that frame of mind determines your behavior.
Okay.
So cognitive psychology, I've always said that if you can do best, stay away from certain events,
okay,
or certain information, certain situations, meaning that it will mean that, for instance, stay away from the news about how terrible this is, you know, because we know it's bad. But, you know, some people actually feed on, for instance, CNN. Perpetually on CNN is the number of infected in the world, the number of infected in the U.S., and the number of deaths. Mm. There's no survival rate. The survival rates are really high, but they're not painting that. Mm. So what people are seeing perpetually, so if you're watching CNN, for instance, and you're watching it consistently, you see, the human mind, it's the information it takes that sows this thought seed. So your thought is sown in you, in your head. You know, it comes through your eyes to your head. Mm-hmm. In fact, it comes through your ears to your head. Mm-hmm. So I tell people that, can we have sanitizers for the eyes? Sorry, sanitizers or face mask. Mm-hmm. Mask for the eyes, mask for the ears, to filter what we hear. Because you can't do it sometimes. Okay, so somebody mentioned that my work necessitates that I understand this information. I take this because that's what I use. I'm a journalist. And that this thing is creating a lot of fear. So I said, okay, since you cannot stay away from the event, you know, sometimes the event is circumstance. There's nothing you can do about COVID-19. And, okay, because your work now necessitates that you are there and it is showing thought in you. One of the other things, one of the coping strategies, and I like that you mentioned it, is the ability to, what we call is to create a narrative around it. I'll give you a case in point. True life story. So, a man's house was burning. A man had a property that was what he has hoped to sell and, you know, turn his life around. He had a property he has always been wanting to sell. Himself and his son were trying to sell that property. Then it was called in the middle of the night that property was burning. So he drove to the scene and realized that the entire property was engulfed in fire. What emotion do you think he's feeling at that point? Sadness. Then his son gets there and says, ah, dad, it's not that bad though. A man had actually paid 70% upfront yesterday for the property. So the property is not entirely ours anymore. You see, the emotion changes from sadness to some of relief, you know? Then they call the man up and say, ah, so something like this has happened. And the man said, wow, a building I paid for has burnt. I didn't pay for bond building. I pay for building. Please refund my money now. What happens again? The emotion switches again to despair. Mm. So the man himself that paid for the building comes to the spot and realizes that, okay, give my money now. But realizes that, oh, you know what? I actually want to use this. I don't actually need the building. What I need is the land. I was actually going to demolish the building anyways. Mm. So, you know, right there and then he pays them the 30% balance. Do you realize that the building is still burnt? Mm. The reality has not changed. Mm. But the narrative is changing. And as the narrative changes, the emotions within the person that owns the building is changing. So, like we say, narratives are more powerful than reality. So, if you are in the situation of the COVID pandemic, your ability to create a spin narrative. So, for instance, I can guarantee you that some of us have not spent the kind of time we spent with our families, like we spent in the last 6 weeks. Maybe nature, God, you know, just wanted to ensure that spend time with your family. You know, or review your life, reflect on your life, or take time out from work and get to know your parents the more before they pass on. So having that spin around, in fact, some people might be thinking right now, God is actually inspiring me to start something else. I've been trying to look for an opportunity. So the spin around it enables you, and that's what positive psychology teaches us. Because I understand that sometimes the situation is such that you cannot alter it. But once it has sown a thought, you're able to create a narrative that changes the frame of mind. Because eventually, the frame of mind, and because we know that there are positive frame of mind, there are negative frame of mind. And those frame of mind determines your behavior. And eventually, if one is not careful, those behavior, so I'll give you a case in point. Somebody has lost all sense of hope of earning income for the next 1 year, for the next, for 2020. Now, he asks me, how do I reframe that? How do I switch that in my head? I'm in an industry that we are not allowed to operate for another 20 years. Also, for the next few months. How do I reframe that in my mind? So let's say, okay, ministry. As a ministry, for instance, could we have imagined that our media would be this, you know? What this has done for the media unit of so many churches is that it has gotten them to think, re-strategize. Yeah. You know, since this gospel is going to be shared abroad, we know that this gospel will not be shared inside the comfort of the church. Mm. We know. Mm. So you can spin the narrative and say, you know, this is a strategy of God getting the gospel everywhere using technology as the platform. And a lot of pastors were never pro-technology before. We're never pro-technology. In fact, some people said it was the devil's tool, it was this, but everybody now, we are there. So that's a narrative. You spin it around that, it changes your dimension to how you are seeing this. And that's one coping strategy.
Okay, so I would like to, Jumoke, to say something about it. That maybe the situation, which I also personally believe, of COVID-19 is not as bad as people have actually painted it. That, oh, fine, it's bad that people actually lost their life, but our whole wellness, which has its root in God, should see good out of this experience. Can you just say something?
Okay, so for me, I'm glad you mentioned the spinning of the narrative, because if you go through the scriptures as well, you will find that practically all responsibility is placed on you to be the one to make sure that your heart is kept with all diligence, to be the one to make sure that you stay your heart on God, you understand? So it's not God coming to say, bring your heart, come and keep. You have a huge responsibility. So the COVID-19 situation, I think, as with any situation, will always have its good and bad side. You understand? There's that Yoruba proverb that says that God doesn't allow something without giving you space to even say thanks, to give gratitude. There's always room for gratitude. You understand? So, yeah, we lose people. But guess what? In this season, some people have lost. People have died, not even due to coronavirus. Mm. They've died of several other things.
Even the fear of coronavirus.
Virus is killing some people, you know. So like you said, on the mainstream media, so all we see is the number of people dying, the number of people that are affected. In fact, to the point of the number of people that will get affected, you know, as if. But in all of that, is COVID-19 a good thing? No. But can good come out of it? Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So, like you said, that's the narrative we need to begin to try and make sure we face on a daily basis. Now, what I need for people to understand is that responsibility lies with you. Mm. It's your responsibility to turn off the news when you can see that, okay, I found out that COVID-19 is not next door. Mm. And really, that's, to a large extent, that's what you want to know. If it's ravaging in the U.S. and you are in, Sao Paulo, there is no need to begin to fear about what is in the U.S., you understand? So it's your duty to turn your mind from that. It's also your duty. It's not only to turn your mind and blanket. You must now feel it. You must now feel it with the right things. Yeah. And if, as a child of God, you realize that what you need to feel it with is what God says about this kind of situations, you need to go and find that out. Has this happened or something similar happened to anyone in the Bible before? Because that's your basis. Yeah. Has anyone found themselves in the depths of despair before? What did they do?
Interestingly, what you're talking about is actually called referencing. You know, so we have to look for positive referencing. You must find people that have experienced this before and have overcome it.
And have come out of it even stronger. Some people go through things like this and they come out stronger. For example, although, you know, with COVID-19, it's droplets today, not droplets tomorrow, face masks today, not face masks tomorrow. But I think right now, as we stand, if you go through it, your immunity becomes so good that the likelihood of you catching it again is lowered. I don't know what tomorrow will bring, but right now, I think that's where we're at. So, hey, some people will go through this and actually come out stronger. They will become defensed against this particular disease. So in the same way, even emotionally, you can go through this and come out stronger. You know, yes, financial issues, man, that is a big one. People are going through a lot. People are begging that never used to beg before. And they are not begging for big things. They are not begging for house rent. They are begging for food.
Basics.
Very, very basic things. They're not even begging you for food for a month. They are begging you for the next meal. People are asking you for amounts that you thought, what? Really? This guy? What does he want? How will this help? It will help him. We are at that point. We have found ourselves at that point. Yes. But in all of this, as children of God, and I think it actually means all of this, including COVID-19, we are more than conquerors. That just must be our focus. Those kinds of words are the words you just must hang on to in all of these things, in all of these things. And all means all. COVID-19, whether next year it's COVID-20 coming, I don't care. In all of these,
you know when the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. People keep on saying, you know, they think it's... They sort of think it's like
a cliche.
Yeah.
But so I like to bring science to a lot of these things. So when the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong, basically it's telling us that actions bet emotions. Emotions don't bet actions. So how do I mean? A lot of us think that you have to feel somehow to act somehow. So you wake up in the morning saying, I just don't feel like doing anything, Jerry. So that emotion is that feeling of not wanting to do anything. You think, okay, this is where I feel today. No, that's not how it works. The way it works is this. What I mean is that sometimes you come to church and realize that you're not feeling, there's a vibe you're not feeling. And somebody comes on stage, you know, just says, somebody shout hallelujah. You're not feeling any vibe. You're just feeling sort of low and everything. But you come to church and somebody keeps on saying, okay, slap your neighbor and I. Now we can't even slap your neighbor and I. You know, someone says, jump to your feet, you know, make some noise and shout. You now realize that maybe you begin to do all those things. Emotions begin to rise inside of you. So what happens is this. It is these actions that are betting the necessary emotions. So if you're feeling, I'm hopeless, I'm depressed, I don't know what to do right now, what you should do is that the people that have hope, what do they do? Begin to do it. And the emotions of hope begins to bet in you. So even the Bible says that even when people die, which is one of the greatest losses in life, that we should not mourn like people that don't have hope. Meaning that the mourning should not be the mourning that is finished. You are mourning like someone that, we're meeting in heaven. We're going to a better place. Those actions begins to generate the emotions that enables you to cope. Because if we talk about coping mechanism, if any of us right now begins to put our attention solely, and I mean this, you begin to put your attention solely on the negativity, there are three major emotions you will feel. Fear. Fear.
And it bursts torment.
After fear is sadness. What I mean is that you are so scared, you don't know what to do, it turns into despair. Fear is also anxiety. You know, it's a spectrum of fear. It turns into despair. It turns into depression. Then when you get to a point where you have the fear has pushed you into a level of sadness where your back has touched the wall. That's what happened to our boys, 1 million boys. It now turns into madness, anger. So you go from fear to sadness to anger. And you see, what those boys did not realize is that you're not the only ones that were angry. Those 1 million boys, our boys, it's emotions. It's emotions that put them out on the street and decided that they were going to take clothes into their hands. They thought they were the only ones angry. They didn't realize that people too were angry. But because they were sort of elitist, you know, they didn't want to, let's still panic this anger. So when they got to some neighborhoods, the people they met were one, so they called themselves 1 million. They met five billion boys. Because all of us are feeling this. So you can't use that as the basis. So when they got to those, they now realize, we know bad, you know. Meaning that whatever you are feeling, we're also feeling it. I can cope. Do you understand? So when you come to meet me, I now remove my coping mechanism and show you that I can decapitate you too. So what is now happening is that, so if we shouldn't get to the point where, as believers, I believe we are the ones that should be encouraging people. You know? We should be the ones encouraging people. We should be the ones. And that is why one of the major things that we cannot take away is that affirmations work. Mm. Affirmations. Find references in the Bible that you can use as the benchmark for the kind of emotions you want to feel and begin to confess those emotions. You know? And what's interesting about emotions is that emotions are more powerful than intellect. You know, we say that the soul is made up of our intellect, Abi,
will and emotions.
Our will. Our intellect being a faculty of thinking, our emotions being a faculty of feeling, and our will being a faculty of choice. Research has proven that when it comes to emotions, emotions will substitute intellect. The more emotional you are, the less thought you put into anything you're doing. Mm. So once the emotions begin to get the better of you, you are not able to think at your, you know, optimum capacity. And that is why we have to put our emotions in check deliberately.
Time is always an issue in this part of eternity. So as we bring this service to a close tonight, I'd like to hear from Jumoke, if you can just tie two things together for us. What are the scriptural provision for emotional wellness? Mm. And what is the provision of the blessing of peace that God has had has designed for us? And then somebody is out there, you don't even know what we're talking about. You're just watching this for the very first time. We are talking from the perspective of when a man or a woman allow his creator, God Almighty, to be the centerpiece of their lives. There's just something that comes with that. And that is where we are tying this up, is the peace of God. And you can also make that decision wherever you are tonight.
Thank you, Jumoke. Just give us...
Praise the Lord. So I'll just quickly, I'll take off from where Pastor stopped, because he started talking about the peace of God. And I'll just give us two or three scriptures. In those scriptures, I outline what the negative is, what God says, and what you can do. So Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, I'm reading from the ESV version, ES English Standard Version. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Another version says, will garrison your heart. If you think of something garrisoning your heart, it means that there's an onslaught against your heart. Mm. Otherwise, we will not be talking about, a garrison. Yes. Something is coming against you, and God is saying, look, my peace will garrison your heart against what is coming. So number one, don't be anxious. Again, the responsibility lies with you. By taking up the spirit of prayer and supplication and adding it with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And trust that as you do that, the peace of God will garrison your heart. Number two, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Mm. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability.
Hallelujah.
But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. Isn't God just beautiful? Mm. I mean, he says to you that, look, whatever you're going through, it is not bigger than you.
Mm. COVID-19 is not bigger.
It's not
than
bigger
us.
Than you. Yeah. You can overcome this. If I have allowed you to go into this, I will take you through it, and you will come out on the other side. And that is so beautiful for me. And he says that, look, but with this, even with this temptation, even with COVID-19, I will provide a way of escape. But you need to be looking at me to see that way. Mm. If you are looking at CNN, BBC, or Sky News, or Al Jazeera, you won't see that way of escape. Mm. You need to be looking at me. So if we take these two scriptures and say that, hey, I have found myself in this situation, but God has promised me peace, he has promised me a way of escape. Mm. The next thing is to go to him in prayer and ask, where is the way of escape? And God will do this for us. He will never fail. Bible says that he is faithful. Let me say something, sir. I don't know if I have, I just want to share
go ahead.
A quick testimony regarding what you said about how it is our actions that will feed our emotions. You understand? We should not walk from the emotion outside. Okay. I remember there was a time I had this issue when I was working, when I was in the corporate sector, and I was on suspension, and it came as a rude shock because I didn't think. I said, "Wow, how will this happen?" And I was numb. I'm telling you, I had no emotion. I could not be angry. It wasn't my fault, but I could not be angry for some reason. I wasn't sad. I wasn't angry. I was so. Now that I'm thinking of it, probably somewhat tottering on despair. I couldn't see a way out. And I went to my pastor. I went to pastor and I said, "Pastor, this is what I'm feeling. I don't know what to do. I don't even know what step to take." And he said something. "Don't do anything. Just praise and worship." Mm-hmm. To me, that sounded odd. Well, to tell you the truth, I was actually, I felt like Naaman. I didn't know, well, this man, I was expecting one
you,
big.
You recommend
honestly, recommend some big. You know, yeah, for me, you did it.
Very good, everyone 1 hour.
You know, so I spent 1 or 2 days doing nothing. And then I thought, you haven't done what they said you should do. Just praise and worship. And I can assure you, the minute I started, the solutions came.
Yeah.
I was shutting down. Yeah. But once that happened, once I started to praise and worship, but there was a lifting, I could see clearly. And from there, the solutions began to come. With regards to actions feeding emotions, we know. We're told that going for, you know, doing an some kind of physical exertion, exercises feed your endorphins. You begin to feel happy. You understand? So you're asking yourself, if I'm feeling down and I begin to exercise, the last thing you want to do when you're feeling down is exercise. So you exercise.
You don't actually feel like exercise.
You don't feel like exercise.
But you have to exercise so that the endorphins will begin to, you know, because when you exercise, blood pumps the entire
exactly.
body.
Exactly.
Wow. And what are feelings? Feelings are chemical reactions.
You know?
You know? So once that hormone, that endorphin hormone, you can create a bit of it, and it pumps through your body to exercise.
And you can come out of it. You can come out of it. So whatever we do, we need to be saying the right things. We need to be doing the right things.
True.
You cannot allow the onslaught of the enemy to keep you down. As Kenneth Copeland always says, never let the devil see you sweat. You understand? So let's determine from this service as we're talking now that, look, I'm going all out. No matter what's coming against me, God has promised me a way of escape, and he has told me it is not too big for me.
My challenge is, you know what? Do a checkup from the neck up, meaning your frame of mind. Perpetually always do a checkup. What are my thoughts lingering on? What are lingering on my mind? What am I focusing my attention on? What's distracting me? What's not me? So every time you feel, and you know these emotions, they are very subtle. They start very subtle. You don't even know until
they creep up on you.
For instance, somebody doesn't realize that hunger is brewing.
Until they do something crazy.
So I'll give you a case in point. Research has shown that a lot of people on death row, you know, in the U.S. Some of them have never committed. To be on death row means that you have killed somebody. You know, or to be on life imprisonment means you have killed somebody. Some of them have never killed a fly until the day they killed a human being. So how do you go from not killing or being a bad person to killing a human being? It means that it has been brewing. It has been brewing. And they said that a lot of them are educated.
Wow.
So that means at the point of that action, their intellect did not come to play. It was suspended. So let's not get to the point where, you know, it has creeped so much into you that you just realize that your child does something really small.
And you take the anger
really
out.
Small. You realize you are beating the child black and blue. It's you that need to be beaten because whatever, like they will say, kill Agbe, kill Edge. You know, and so we begin to watch it. For instance, watch your countenance. Just ensure that per second, as often as you can do it, ensure that your frame of mind, you know, so when the Bible says, be not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because the Bible knows that the amount of negativity flowing at us, especially at such a time as this. It's enormous. It's humongous. You know, you may not be able to close your eyes and ears to it, but ensure that you're able to renew your mind. Like Pastor Jumoke said, stay on the Word of God.
Yeah.
The Word of God enables you to renew your mind. It shifts your attention from all the negativity and into the positive. So, for instance, I'll give a case in point. You know that when David saw the nakedness of a thought was sown. So somebody said that if David was not at home, he wouldn't have seen it. You know, but now that he has seen it, you know. So people say that in peradventure you have now seen all of this, mm-hmm. and the thought has been sown, mm-hmm. and maybe the fear is striking, or maybe you know someone has been infected or something. Mm-hmm. How do you manage, mm-hmm. you know, to get your mind off? Mm. You know, people say that you can't see what you have, you cannot see
what you've seen.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe somebody close to you work in the health sector, for instance. That's when I tell people that, you know what, there's psychology and there's spirituality. Mm-hmm. You know, spirituality breaks psychology into bits. What I mean is that power past power. Mm-hmm. You know, so we would have to leverage on the power of God to enable us break. Because, for instance, somebody has had a perpetual, all his life, what he has had is that he has been raised on the foundations of fear. You know, even some people, the only thing they come to God for is not so that they will not get me. That's the only reason why they're in God. So how do you enable such a person? You can't use psychology, because you would realize that one is now becoming a mental disorder of some sort. You need God to break that mindset.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Let me just do a quick recap. I have 12 things here tonight. Let me just say to us, number one, COVID-19 has affected more people than infected people. That's very insightful. In other words, many people have been infected with phobia, anxiety, negative emotions, which are all feelings. Secondly, our emotional well-being springs from our heart. The springboard for our emotional well-being is from our heart. And that's why the Bible says, guard your heart. Proverbs 4:20-23, it said, my son, attend to my word. Incline your ears unto my saying. He said, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. He said, for they are life to those who find them. They are health to their flesh. He said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues that control our lives. Thirdly, God desires us whole, and that is the foundation of our lives. 3 John 2, he said, he wish above all things that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prosper. 4:9 was wellness, our wellness. Your emotional wellness, my emotional wellness, resides in God. And Proverbs 24:10 says, when you and I fail in the day of adversity, such as we are in the global pandemic, it means we have not developed capacity enough. Our strength is small. So, fifthly, we need to become aware of our emotional environment, what we see, what we hear, what we engage in terms of TV, in terms of radio. It's not that news is bad. News are just factual information. But what you need at this time is revelation, not just information. And then 6, narrative are more dynamic than the realities of the movement. Our own springboard is around the power of God, which is at any day. Psychology is good. But hey, the power of God will swallow up the limit that psychology has put on a human mind, because we're dealing with the spirit being. And then 7, the responsibility of all the positive springboard is on us. Our heart springs out things. Jesus said that, I think in Matthew 12:34, he said we fling things out of our heart. Out of the heart proceeds good. Out of the heart also proceeds wickedness. So never underestimate the power of the things that comes out of your heart, whether positive or negative. And then 9, please find out. Is it 9? 8, fill your heart with thoughts in the mind of Christ. we have the mind of Christ. So your thoughts should be the mind of Christ. The Philippians 4 that you quoted, verse 8, I mean, it settles it for us. It said, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. He said, those are the very things you and I need to think about. We need to meditate. When we meditate on fear for long, fear takes hold of our lives. Job 3:25 says, that which I greatly fear has come upon me. But when we meditate on faith, on love, on kindness, that's what springs out of our heart. And then number 9, we said we should find out positive references. And that's why we have the Bible, really. And we can read about the people who have triumphed over adverse situations of life. I mean, there is just this scripture that I love. It's somewhere in Job. It said, we will laugh at destruction and famine. Somebody who is emotionally well that can actually laugh in the face of what is killing everybody. And there is another testimony in this reference. He said, when men say there is casting down, our own testimony is that there is lifting up. So we look at the word of God to find out these positive references. And then thank God, it's not only the word of God, but we have also living witnesses. There are people who are living their life. I mean, people are complaining all around us today, but there are people who are having the best moment in their lives. And I love, I think that's Lala's signature, living your best life now. You can live your best life now. And then number 10, action bats and feed our emotions. And it's not the other way around. It's our actions that bats and then feed our emotions. As someone says, I am happy because of the happening. But another person says, I am joyful, irrespective of the happening. So joy is a product of the human spirit. So if you have that relationship, this is time. Hey, don't look for any other coping mechanism at this time. Your coping mechanism should be in the word of God. Because Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man makes the heart go worse. And then you can develop depression. So your coping mechanism, your strategy of coping is in God. Number 11, your positive affirmation should also be in the word of God. And number 12 today, I love it. There is nothing we are facing today. The Bible recorded it, 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, such as it is common to men. Wow. So you are not the only one. I'm not the only one in COVID-19, but the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4, 6 to 8, but in everything. And I love what he says. He said, the peace of God, the shalom of God, the wellness of God, we build empire around our heart. And then, lastly, tonight from us here, our word to you is Isaiah 26, 3. He said, he will keep in perfect peace. That speaks of wholeness. That speaks of wellness. And that is the design of God. And that is what we bring to you tonight, that in the midst of this crisis moment, he will keep you in perfect peace. Only one condition. If your heart and your mind can stay upon him. Hallelujah. Let's pray with the people tonight. I want you to pray. Maybe, I don't know who we go next. Let's just pray generally for people. I know that there will be 1, 2, 3 people out there whose hearts are filled with anxiety, with cares, with worries. Some business people don't even know. Sometimes when we talk about multiple streams of income in the midst of a troubled mind, people are just bereft of ideas. Yes, but let's just pray for healing in people's mind tonight, and then as God will just inspire us. Let's go, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't know who wants to go first. Just go ahead and just pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You are the one who speaks calm to every storm.
Thank you, Lord.
Right now, we agree that upon everyone listening to us this evening, we speak calm to every storm in your life in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, and by the authority that we have in Christ Jesus, right now, I say to every raging storm, peace, still, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
right now. I address you, spirit of confusion, trying to attack that mind. You are coming in the guise of fear, but what you are actually doing is to confuse that mind. You want to steal that, the sanity of that mind. I address you. Yes. Now in the name of Jesus,
amen.
I say you are halted in your tracks. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
I lift up the standard of the blood against
yes.
you. I say over that life, the blood says not guilty.
Amen.
And therefore, you must live and lose your hold
amen.
In Jesus' mighty
amen.
Name. In its place, I speak peace.
Yes, Lord.
The peace of God, the shalom.
Yes,
nothing
Lord.
Missing, nothing
yes.
broken. I
yes,
speak
Lord.
Calm to your
thank
mind.
Thank you, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus,
amen.
As you reach out, you've been reaching out, you've been trying to grasp. Yes, you've been reaching out and been trying to grasp for ideas. You've been trying to grasp for sanity. You've been trying. I say right now, your hand reaches and it touches sanity and you begin to enjoy the fresh flow
yes,
of ideas
yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Your mind is released
yes,
back to
Lord.
You in
yes,
the name
Lord.
Of Jesus.
Yes,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank
Father.
You. We speak peace over
thank
every listener
Lord.
this evening in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive the peace of God.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty
amen.
Name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for being part of our service today. I leave this last line with you. Information may be necessary in life, but revelation is what puts you over in any life issues.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, he said, my brethren, do not be conformed to this world. He said, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So your emotional wellness is your responsibility.
Yeah,
he said, which is our reasonable service. He said, do not be conformed to this world. Message says, don't try to fit into the prevailing culture of this world. The initial reaction is to get worried. It's to exercise anxiety. He said, but do not be conformed to this world. He said, be daily renewed. Grow by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, that which is acceptable, and that which is the perfect will of God for your life. And we pray for you, just like we have prayed tonight, that this period will be a season of fresh revelation,
amen.
Fresh insight,
amen.
As we look forward to the opportunities amen. That will come our way after post-COVID. God
amen.
Bless you. Have a very lovely evening. And wherever you are watching us from, whether yours is morning or afternoon, it is a beautiful day to be alive.
Yes,
God bless
Lord.
You. Thank you for being part of our service today. We love and appreciate you. Bye for now. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,